What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. First things first, recording in a new space today. Sorry about the glare on the video. If you're watching on video, if you can deal with it, more power to you, but it might not be the episode to watch on video. Sorry again, everybody. But if you can stand it, I'm going to put it up anyway. So we're going to be continuing with part three of our review, really, of Retool's State of AI in 2024 report. We left off at the section of the report that was going over which departments are using AI the most. And so that's where we're going to pick up today. So AI is definitely finding its way into various corners of the workplace in all sectors and all roles. The data reveals a surprising lag in adoption, though, among support teams. So we know that help and support chatbots are one of the primary uses of the AI in businesses right now, and I believe it was in third place. But support teams are actually lagging in adoption, which is a bit unexpected considering that chatbot popularity. However, the difference isn't crazy drastic, and it highlights the reluctance and why the reluctance. It could stem mostly from concerns about AI's accuracy and data security, which were identified as a major pain points by most of the respondents of this survey done by Retool. And these concerns haven't changed much from the last year or so, suggesting that AI models still have some, which suggests that AI models still have some pretty significant work to do in catching up in terms of reliability and trustworthiness. Even those who are actively using AI tools, so those people that are finding the most productivity gains, using it daily, express moderate levels of trust in the output. I use AI daily, and I'm not inputting anything that I feel could be stored or learned from or manipulated. I think it's a long way away from that kind of comfort and security. Even those who are most actively using AI tools, like on a daily basis, only are showing moderate levels of trust in the output, averaging about 6 out of 10 showing trust in the AI's output, which is cautiously optimistic and reveals that there's still somewhat of a balancing act going on between the appreciation of AI's potential and also acknowledging the risks and its current limitations in the workplace and for businesses, especially like enterprise level businesses who are dealing with lots of data, lots of customer data. All the concerns regarding privacy now are just getting ramped up even more in the world of AI. And it seems that while people definitely are looking to leverage the capabilities of AI, most people are still keeping a pretty wary and watchful eye on its shortcomings, especially security wise. So what does this mean for the future of AI adoption? We talk a lot about AI adoption on this show, and while AI is being embraced across various departments, there's still a gap to bridge when it comes to building trust, especially in customer-facing roles. In fact, just to break it down a little bit for you here, the department that uses AI the most is engineering. Companies that have engineers or an engineering department, followed in second place by marketing. Love to see it, all those marketers out there embracing AI and pushing the department to adjust in an AI marketing landscape. Data science is next, 32, I should probably give you the numbers here on the breakdowns. Engineering was 45%, marketing was 36.2%. And again, this is a breakdown of how many people in these departments are using AI. Data science is next at 32.8%. One thing to notice is that support is lagging behind here in about sixth place at 28.4%. And that's what we were talking about with the support lag, considering support chatbots being a popular implementation. We see HR way down there at 10.3%. Totally makes sense, dealing with all your employee data. Finance and legal are down at 12.7% and 8.8% respectively. Again, tons of very sensitive data and a lot of regulation there. I expect that to continue to lag behind in AI adoption compared to the rest of these departments. So as AI models continue to improve and the security measures become more robust, we can definitely expect to see greater acceptance and integration of AI across the board. Okay, the next thing that Retool looks at here is the internal versus external AI use of these businesses. This survey reveals that there's a clear preference for the internal AI use cases. And only a small fraction of the survey respondents for the State of AI report here, just 8.5%, actually believe that AI's potential is greater for external applications. So we can take that to mean businesses are looking for the leaks that they can plug with AI internally, the optimizations they can make in their internal departments and their current workflows before doing a lot of customer facing or product led AI implementation. Over a third of these departments see more promise in internal AI application, these businesses, and a whopping 58% believe the potential is equal for both. This insight suggests kind of a strategic shift, again, in how the companies are approaching AI adoption. Rather than rushing to deploy those front-facing or customer-facing roles and use AI in those roles, many are choosing more to focus on those internal optimizations first. This approach also allows these companies to kind of experiment with AI in a less risky environment. They're not dealing with their source of income and their customers or their users, and they're not risking that any damage being done there. They're much more willing to take their own data, their own financial statements or whatever it may be, and do a little experimenting there. This internal first approach also makes sense when you consider, again, the potential risks associated with these inaccurate or unreliable AI systems. You definitely don't want your customers getting frustrated dealing with your AI, dealing with your product. And you'd much rather deal, although you don't want to deal with this internal either, but you'd much rather deal with internal frustration before that external frustration. So by using these internal use cases, we're going to be able to improve the accuracy of these tools, work out the kinks, iron out the issues, and really, after iterations of this, these companies, I'm sure, will be ready to unleash these tools on the public, as it were, or offer more product-facing, customer-facing solutions. This doesn't mean that external AI applications are being ignored, though. There's still a good proportion of these companies, 58%, if you'll recall, that see that equal promise in both internal and external use cases, which kind of suggests that, well, this caution is definitely warranted. They see enough potential and they see the upside of the AI to being able to revolutionize basically their customer experiences. And it's still very much on the table for those external use cases. It just needs a little more time. So what can we take away from this? The AI landscape is definitely evolving and these companies are taking a much more measured approach to adoption, especially than individuals or individual users are. Or we just are as consumers. Internal AI applications are definitely going to be paved the way for a future where AI can start to enhance also customer experiences, external operations, product operations, things like that. And as AI technology continues to mature, we can expect to see a much greater balance between the internal and external uses. Okay, moving on in the report here, future use cases. And this is really cool section of the report where they're asking these companies and businesses what they envision using AI for in the future. And we already know that it's already being put to good use as far as these tools, as far as writing, generative AI, coding. These are the most popular uses for the tool, creating pitch decks or presentations. There's also a sense, though, that that's just really kind of scratching the surface of what's possible, especially when it comes to like problem solving and the high level conceptual problems that most of these businesses are facing, whether it's with their balance sheet or the product market that they're in, whatever it might be. And many respondents expressed a belief that these current applications are really, like I said, just scratching the surface and super limited. And they're eagerly anticipating an emergence of a new, a higher level of AI. And this is kind of where we brush against artificial general intelligence or AGI, where we have an AI that's as intelligent as a human being or is able to complete tasks or solve problems that a human being would be able to. And I think when we reach that point, that's when more of these businesses will see, okay, well, now we really have AI that's better, the same, if not better, than our average employee at doing some of these tasks. And the security aspect will probably be less of a concern. And it's only going to become more accessible. I think we can definitely expect to see kind of a wave of creativity and experimentation, especially once AI hits that point where developers and entrepreneurs are going to be pushing the boundaries, which they're already doing, exploring new ways to harness AI's power for everything from like think personalized medicine or healthcare to sustainable energy. These are kind of the larger problems that that people envision AI being able to solve for them, and even businesses as well. So this is an optimistic outlook, and it's fueled by the belief that AI is not just a tool, but it's going to be a catalyst for innovation, and that by removing some of the automation on these mundane tasks or augmenting our human capabilities, that AI is actually going to free us up to focus on new problems, a higher level of thinking, and hopefully it's going to empower us to tackle challenges that were once thought impossible or insurmountable. So this is kind of the heady and lofty things that I think AI is actually going to do for us in the future, and hope that it's going to do for us in the future, at least. So we're definitely still in the early stages of AI adoption, but the future is there. Okay, and the last section that we're going to cover in today's episode from this report is how people are customizing AI models, and if these businesses, who among these businesses or respondents are actually customizing AI models and using them for internal custom applications. So we're going to explore, or the report explores, how companies are tailoring these models for their specific needs and specific use cases. Methods they're basically also helping to ensure accuracy, bringing more accuracy and data security into these models, and basically really just addressing the ongoing challenges of bias and fairness in these systems. It turns out that most companies aren't just using AI models off the shelf, ChatGPT or Claude. A significant majority are customizing them to some extent or using the APIs to try and customize the models to their internal data or applications. The most popular methods are fine-tuning existing models. So taking the APIs from ChatGPT or Llama, any open source APIs that you can access, and really leveraging your database, what's called retrieval augmented generation, which is really just fancy speak for combining traditional database systems or operating systems with large language models. So whenever you hear RAG, R-A-G, retrieval augmented generation, it's like a combination of databases and LLMs. Larger enterprises are definitely more interested in retrieval augmented generation or RAG, likely due to their access to these large and vulnerable data sets and resources that we were talking about. But this customization is really just one piece of the puzzle. Accuracy and maintaining the correct information is top priority for these companies as well, especially when you're going to be employing this AI across a large scale of customers. The most common approach that companies are using to ensure this accuracy involves feedback loops from their users. So followed closely by prompt engineering and iteration and stuff like that. So it's an iterative process that you're using to train these models and to check the accuracy, and it helps identify and correct errors. And by involving the users in that, it scales out your ability to train the models and make sure that they stay on track and are delivering reliable results. However, one of the biggest issues of these models is bias and fairness, and it remains a super, super difficult challenge. Nearly 30% of the respondents of this retool survey admitted that they either don't address this issue or don't know how to when they're filtering AI outputs. Some may rely on these what's called pre-built bias mitigation in some of these foundational models. And that's kind of all they're really applying in the realm of bias cut here. And others might not see it as relevant to their specific use cases, bias that is. Unfortunately, there are also those who simply don't prioritize fairness and bias in their considerations. For those companies that are actively addressing bias and fairness, the best way that they are doing this are regular audits and reviews, being the most popular method, followed by things like pre-processing techniques. So these are what you're using to augment your data on input to the system prior to output. And then there's post-processing adjustments. So this is correcting the model and training the model on the correct information. So it's a multifaceted approach, and it demonstrates a growing awareness of the importance of building ethical and equitable AI systems. And the journey to create unbiased and fair AI is definitely ongoing, but the efforts are encouraging. As the technology is maturing and our understanding of its honestly, societal impact and impact on humanity, we can definitely expect to see even more robust strategies for mitigating this bias and ensuring that AI serves everyone equitably, which always needs to be our top concern. Okay, so that is it for part three. Still a ton of good information coming from the report that we'll get into on our next episode. That's it for today's episode, though. So if you enjoy the show or you found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated and so super helpful to the show. So until next time, thanks for joining me. And remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.